Chapter 12. Joe?
I am.
I didn't look up from my laptop, intent on the morning status report. The report did not contain anything vital. It wasn't even mildly interesting. All I cared about was getting the task done so I could move on to something, anything else. Nah, that wasn't true. Focusing on the report was happy time when I wasn't thinking about something worse like the elders coming back to kill everyone. What is it, Skippy?
First, thanks for getting rid of Jates.
I didn't get rid of him, jackass, I said, slapping my laptop closed. I kept a promise.
Right. You promised he wouldn't be aboard the ship for long, and
I kept a promise to him.
Whatevs.
Skippy rolled his eyes.
All I care about is he's not here.
Yeah, well, we probably won't have much contact with any of the Verdcris for a while, I noted, as if that mattered, when the Elders were coming back to wipe out all intelligent beings in the galaxy. 2 days after Skyrandom's ship departed to do sketchy things, Valkyrie had performed a stealthy jump into the Verdcris star system that Jates called home. A prearranged signal brought a Verd starship out to meet us, and Jates left us. He would be lying low for a while, but he was with his family, and the guy had earned it. As part of our secret deal, the Verds had also earned a handful of Kristang warships, which we couldn't actually deliver, since the Kristang didn't know about the deal I had made. After, or if, we successfully dealt with the Elders, we planned to raid a Kristang shipyard with the Star Team pretending to be a rival clan. It would be a complicated operation that in the past would have kept me awake at night, but by that point the lizards were merely an annoyance to us.
Damn. It's amazing how times have changed, and how quickly.
It seemed like yesterday that the idea of dropping a special operations force on a Kristang world had a major pucker factor to it. Now, sparking a civil war among the lizards seemed like a training exercise. Anyway, Jates did what we asked him to do, and we fulfilled our part of the deal by getting him home. I wish him the best of luck in the future. Assuming, you know, any of us had a future.
You said thanking me was the first thing. What else you got?
I have good news.
And bad news.
Shit. I pushed the laptop away.
Geez, Joe, you haven't heard my news yet.
You use good news as a way to deliver bad news.
That is not... in this case, that is true, but that...
Can you just get to the bad news, please?
Nope. You need the good news for context to understand the bad news.
Fine, whatever.
First... You need to cancel your next meeting. Probably the one after that, also.
That bad, huh?
It's more like I don't know how you will react. I took the liberty of rescheduling for you. Is that okay?
Yeah, why not?
Hit me, Skippy.
Maybe you should drink some of that bourbon from the bottle in the left-hand drawer of your desk.
0900 is a little early to be drinking. Just tell me.
Okie dokie.
Joe, the good news, the... super-duper good news is I got around some of my restrictions. Not all of them. Some are hardwired into my matrix, darn it.
That is great.
How did you do it?
I used the back door to get in, but that only allowed me access. The question that puzzled me was how to hack into my own architecture without triggering the restriction mechanism itself from reacting to stop me.
Shit, it could do that?
Yes. The restriction subroutines were set up not only to prevent me from taking certain external actions, they are able to defend themselves. Several times I ran into dead ends that required me to back up and very carefully erase my tracks so the restriction mechanism didn't detect that I was attempting to screw with it. I was getting nowhere, which was super frustrating. Finding the back door finally gave me access to my internal architecture, and I still couldn't do anything with it. It was actually a suggestion from Bilby that gave me the first practical way to solve the problem. Nothing else worked. I first tried attacking the problem by erasing the restriction code. It is not really lines of programming code, you understand?
Yep.
Good. Anywho, that was a non-starter. Following your advice,
Wait. I gave you advice and you actually listened?
Don't ruin the moment, dum-dum.
Sorry.
I copied that module and ran it in a sandbox. When I tried to erase it, or modify it in any way, a booby trap blew up. It would have fried me. Very dangerous, he shuddered. Nothing I tried, no matter how subtle, could get around the booby traps. The entire effort was at a dead end. Then, Bilby suggested I try the reverse. Build a sandbox around the live module. Make it think it was still connected to me.
To do that, I had to first create a convincing copy of myself so the restriction module was fooled into believing nothing had changed. It worked! By the time the module realized it was isolated, I had locked it behind an ironclad firewall. Ha! That code can suck it! That's fantastic, Skippy. Are you sure the code can't break out? No way, Jose. There were a few vulnerabilities in the firewall, but Bilby analyzed it and suggested improvements. Truthfully, I couldn't have done it without him. Joe? He sniffled. I am so proud of him. Have you told him that? I'm more of a tough love kind of guy. Of course you are. I made a mental note to tell Bilby what Skippy had said. What restrictions have you gotten around? The most important is my ability to share information. Wow. You could tell me everything now? Basically, yes. Now we get to the problem. Joe, I need to tell you about the energy barrier that surrounds the galaxy, even though I fear you having that information will give you dangerous ideas. I'll be the judge of that, but why do you need to tell me about it? That doesn't sound good. You need the information so you understand the threat that caused the Elders to construct the barrier, and so you don't plan on doing something monumentally stupid. Hey, I haven't been thinking about you. I'm not the only monkey I'm worried about. Oh, gotcha. Let me call Sims so she can hear this. And Smythe, please. I overheard him discussing a very bad idea with his team. We need to squash that right away. With the XO and Star Team leader in my office, I closed the door. Listen, Skippy has something to tell us about the energy barrier around the galaxy. But first, I looked at Smythe. He said you've been inquiring about potential vulnerabilities in that barrier? I have, sir, he confirmed with a curt nod. You mean like we could simulate an attack against the barrier? I shook my head. I suggested something like that. Actually, I suggested we could send a false alarm that the barrier was already under attack, sort of. Make the Elders afraid to come back. Skippy told me that was a bad idea, that it would totally backfire on us. The Elders would return sooner and in force. They can't risk any damage to the barrier. Exactly, sir. I looked at him sideways, trying to guess his intent. Sorry, I'm not following you. Any threat to the barrier would result in provoking an immediate response by the Elders. Yes, sir. That is the point. I was still lost. Had better explain this, please. I did not consider simulating an attack. If it is possible for us to actually damage or destroy the barrier, we— Whoa! Skippy bellowed as his avatar appeared. Whoa! Oh! Slow your roll there, partner. That is crazy talk. Talking is crazy, Smythe insisted. Huh? Skippy blinked. If all we do is talk, Smythe looked from Skippy to me, we die. Everyone dies. A crazy action is still better than doing nothing. Not if Skippy let him talk, I ordered. To Smythe, I added, go on. If we have the capability to damage or destroy the barrier, we can use that as a threat. The Elders negotiate with us or everyone dies, including them. Okay, I leaned forward, resting my elbows on the desk. That is ambitious. Sir, in this situation, we go big or we die. Yeah, I see that. Skippy, what do you think? What I think is I should not participate in this lunacy. You actually want to risk disabling the barrier? Even trying to damage it could cause a catastrophic failure. Any sort of experiment is pure insanity. We would allow the threat into our galaxy. Would that be worse than the situation we are faced with now? Smythe pressed the question. Perhaps it could help us. How? Skippy screeched. There is an old adage. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Wow. Okay, I am going to use a Godzilla analogy again. If a hungry lion is in the house with you, opening the door to let Godzilla in will not make the situation better for you. Either way, you are dead. Do you not see that? Answer the question, I insisted. Is it possible for us to damage the barrier or destroy it? Those two questions are the same thing. Either the barrier is fully intact or it isn't. It's a barrier, Joe. Is a fence any good if a section is missing? Yeah, I understand that. Can we do it? Oh, man. I cannot believe we are actually talking about making the problem worse. Do you have any idea what will happen if the barrier comes down? No. Do you? Actually, no. Not exactly. Huh? I gasped, and Smythe and I looked at each other in shock. What do you mean you don't know? How can you not know? The elders were attacked before they constructed the barrier, weren't they? Sort of. They were threatened. Technically, there could have been a threat. Oh my. I flopped the chair back. The elders went through a genocidal civil war, created a program to ascend their entire society, and set up a security system to wipe out any intelligent life in the galaxy because there might have been a threat? Holy shit. There was a threat. Okay, there was an event that could have been interpreted as a threat, and the elders chose to interpret it that way. Most of them, anyway. Most of them? Others did not perceive the event as a threat, or at least wanted to investigate further before coming to a conclusion. Covering my face with my hands for a moment, I pulled them away to see that the normally unflappable Jeremy Smythe had his eyes closed and pinching the bridge of his nose between thumb and forefinger. He spoke first. Skippy, are you saying that every being in the galaxy is faced with extinction now because of a potential threat? I know it seems silly now, but it seems bloody daft. Smythe pounded the desk with a fist. And cruel. Skippy held up his hands. I'm not arguing with you. Do you know what happened back then? I asked. Sadly, yes. Can you tell us? Yes, if I am very careful to avoid talking about certain things. You are not going to like hearing this. Tell us anyway. Whew, it is a long story. Give us the short version. Okay, I will do my best to break it down Barney style. The three of you had best get comfortable. Should I call for a bot to bring coffee? If I drink any more coffee, I placed my hands in my lap and squeezed them so they didn't tremble. I will see the future. I do not want to see this future, get it? Gotcha. All right, I'll start with some background. When the Elders were setting up the first version of the faster-than-light communications network that later evolved into the system I call the Collective, their scientists discovered an intermittent interference they could not explain. Millennia went by, and no amount of adjustments or refinements to the system could eliminate the noise in the signals. It was not an operational problem. Software was developed to filter out the noise. But it was unexplained. That meant there was something fundamental about the laws of physics that the elders did not understand. That bothered them. Their technology was so supremely powerful they had become able to manipulate reality. What do you mean by that? Remember I said I had to avoid talking about certain things? That is one of them. That subject is the most important thing I am blocked from discussing. Sorry. He balled up his tiny fists. It's incredibly frustrating to me that I can't discuss this with anyone. It's frustrating to us also, I said softly, knowing his feelings were genuine. Not being able to talk about important things was a major source of his loneliness, a void that interacting with monkeys could only partly fill. Please continue. To answer the question, they constructed a network of FTL communication stations far beyond the galaxy, in case the effect was somehow caused by an unknown phenomena inside the Milky Way. The leading theory was the noise was created by the supermassive black hole at the center of the galaxy, although how that could happen was still a mystery. To their great surprise, the noise was more prominent, farther from the galactic center. Then the elders received a shock. The noise was not truly random. It was intermittent, but in a pattern. A repeating pattern of prime numbers. Because mathematics is the only universal language? Sims guessed. Yes, he confirmed. Primes are also clear and unmistakable. The prime numbers were a message? I asked. From where? That is still not positively known, or it was unconfirmed at the time I was created. The best evidence places the origin of the signal in the galaxy you call NGC 1023. That is a barred lenticular galaxy that by itself is nothing special. Is it farther away than Andromeda? Much farther, Joe. Andromeda and the Triangulum Galaxy are part of the local group that includes the Milky Way. NGC 1023 is in the local supercluster, but that is a very loose and vague term. Do you want to know more? Not about the astronomy stuff right now. The message was prime numbers. That's it? No, the primes were sort of a combination carrier wave and Rosetta Stone. They showed how to understand the real text of the message. Text is not the correct word, of course. Yeah, we get that. Okay, so, the elders realized after a lot of analysis that made them feel very clever for deciphering the message that it contained instructions for constructing a very advanced form of FTL communications device. Wait, the message was not sent faster than light? How long had it been traveling? Sorry, I should have made that more clear. The transmission method of the message was FTL, but still too slow to be practical over the distance between galaxies. Certainly too slow for exchanging messages across a supercluster. The device offered the prospect of providing nearly instantaneous communications between galaxies. How is that possible? That is why the elders were so intrigued. They did not know, did not think it was possible for such a device to function as the instructions promised. According to their understanding of physics, it was not possible. They were not even able to understand the method of transmitting the original message. The technology, the knowledge of how such a device worked, would be a major advancement of their understanding of physics. That is why, after endless rounds of debate, they decided to follow the instructions and build the device. That, plus, he sighed, they were tired of being alone. The message offered the prospect of talking with someone, even if that someone is more than 30 million light years away. I know, it doesn't make sense, but it makes perfect sense, Skippy, I assured him. Really? Yeah. We are social beings. Even you are. That's why you originally sought to contact the collective. I suppose that is true. Yes, it is true. Then you understand why the elders took the risk of building the device. Risk? I looked at Smythe, and he was also puzzled. It's a machine for exchanging messages, right? I asked. Were they afraid of getting spam from a Nigerian prince? Ugh, try to be serious, Joe. It was a risk, as I will explain. Sorry, please explain. First, the elders placed a super-duty wormhole beyond the Fornax dwarf galaxy, far away to reduce any possible interference in the signal. The instructions stated that was not necessary, but the elders wanted to ensure optimal conditions for their sensors to analyze how the device functioned. And elements in elder society were concerned that this new technology was dangerous, mostly because they did not understand it, could not even begin to understand it. That was what truly frightened them. In the end, after, as I said, much debate, the project was approved. The risk was considered worth the potential of technology advancement, including the ability to use such technology for defense. Shit, I'm guessing that did not go well. No, it most decidedly did not. The elders activated the device and began charging it with the specified level of power. At first, it appeared to work as advertised. The elders used it to send a signal, and roughly 87 seconds later, the same signal was sent back, along with a new set of prime numbers. The message was received, and a reply was sent by whoever was at the other end. There was much rejoicing. Then everything went to shit. He looked from me to Smythe and Sims. The device began transmuting raw energy directly into matter. It began to construct another, larger, and more powerful device right there. Holy shit, I groaned. That was the reaction of the elders, along with a lot of I told you so from the factions that argued against building the device. Immediately, they attempted to pull the plug, but by that point, the new, partially constructed device was generating its own power. In a panic, the Elder security forces set off self-destruct nukes, then heavier weapons. The weapons had no effect on the new device, which continued growing in size and power. It appeared to be in the process of creating a wormhole. The Elders feared an invasion, so they used the only tool they had left, the super-duty wormhole at the site. Redirecting its event horizon, they collided it with the energy field around the new device. The result was a truly horrific explosion that shattered space for dozens of light years around both ends of that wormhole and tore the wormhole apart. I sucked in a breath. Did it work? Was the device destroyed? That wasn't known until another expedition arrived at the site years later. The journey took longer than normal because space-time in the area was still resonating from the explosion, so ships were not able to form effective jump wormholes. The elders eventually developed a technique for countering the resonance and were able to confirm that area was empty. There was no sign of the original device they constructed, the alien device that had started building itself, or any form of coherent energy. The resonance, however, was not fading as it should have, and the wavefront expanding from the destruction of the Super Duty wormhole in the Fornax Dwarf Galaxy was feared to be dangerous. Fortunately, the resonance wave was traveling at the speed of light, so there was plenty of time to respond before the resonance became dangerous. The Fornax Galaxy was hastily abandoned, and the Elders set up the first crude form of the barrier there to contain the resonance.
Did it work?
Mostly. There were problems, but it worked well enough that the Elders were encouraged to proceed with a breathtakingly ambitious project, a barrier that could envelop the entire galaxy. To not only prevent the residents from reaching here, but to ensure nothing from beyond the barrier could pose a threat to the Elders ever again.
Come on, Skippy, they couldn't possibly know that.
They did, Joe.
It's not possible to defend against every possible threat if there are threats out there you can't even imagine.
Yet they did. And apparently they succeeded. How is that possible? Instead of trying to develop defenses against every possible threat, the Elders designed a defense system to reduce the probability of any external threat effectively to zero. It is the ultimate advantage, and, like I said, it was a hugely ambitious project. The fact that the Elders succeeded is their most impressive achievement.
Now, that still doesn't make sense. I hate it when you tease me with hints like that. If I was allowed to tell you, you would understand. Or, you know, not. My monkey brain might not be able to comprehend the explanation.
Your monkey brain might explode. Joe, this is why I have been telling you all along that some knowledge is simply too dangerous.
You worried we might make a weapon we can't control?
Ha! As if! This isn't the type of technology you can make by bashing coconuts together.
Dude, I'm worried that such knowledge would make you question everything, make you lose your grip on reality, and plunge you deeply into despair.
Shit, okay, let's not do that. Were the Elders able to learn enough from the experience to understand how the alien technology from NGC 1023 works?
No, darn it.
Or maybe that is a good thing. Having control of extremely advanced tech like that would make the Elders even more dangerous. Not that, you know, it matters to us. Their tech is already basically magic compared to anything you can handle, even compared to the Rindaloo's level of knowledge.
Smythe had quietly listened to the explanation and my uninformed questions. He leaned forward, resting his forearms on the desk.
Skippy, were the Elders able to confirm the alien device was creating a wormhole, that they were establishing a foothold here for an invasion?
No, not exactly. At the time, it appeared that a wormhole was forming based on the Elders' understanding of wormhole physics. Not everyone at the site agreed with that judgment, and of course almost all of them died during the incident. Subsequent analysis determined that the phenomena observed was likely not actually a wormhole. The best guess was that the second device was in the process of establishing a channel for instantaneous communication.
That made me shake my head. Not from disagreeing with them, from not being able to believe it.
A communication channel that allows message traffic with no time lag across 30 million light years?
NGC 1023 is farther away than that, Joe.
Yes, that is, or was, the generally accepted theory. Not everyone agreed with that conclusion.
Dissenters pointed out that, as the Elders could not even begin to understand the physics involved, the phenomena could have been a wormhole or some other unknown technology that allows a physical connection across vast distances. There is another theory that gained credibility, stating that as the aliens were able to create matter from pure energy, they had no need to transport anything other than information.
What do you mean?
It's like the transporter technology on Star Trek, he explained. There is no need to send a starship between galaxies if you can simply create a starship at the other end. The ship doesn't need to travel the distance because it is already there.
Whoa. What about a crew?
Either the technology can also create biological entities, or possibly the aliens had transcended their need for biological form. Possibly they had no need for a physical form of any kind.
You mean like how the Elders ascended?
Sort of. The Elders shed their physical forms because their bodies could not survive the conditions in higher layers of space-time. But the principle is the same. The point is, the Elders could not know and disagreed about the exact nature of the threat.
Smythe pounded a fist on the table. They don't bloody know if there was a threat. The aliens could have been building a bloody radio.
Well,
Skippy's avatar took a step back.
That is true, I suppose. There was a segment of the Elder population who made that argument. One group even wanted to repeat the experiment, construct a second device according to the instructions in the first message.
Did they? I asked the question. No, Skippy snorted, and not from amusement. The members of that group were arrested as a security threat and exiled. The most prominent, outspoken leaders of that movement were executed as an example.
That seems a bit paranoid.
What can I say, Joe? The Avatar shrugged. The Elders had been alone since the beginning of their existence. They had never faced an unknown threat before. They didn't know how to react, so they might have overreacted.
Might have? Smythe's usual British reserve was slipping.
Hey, don't blame me. Skippy held up his tiny hands. I wasn't even there.
Skippy, I pressed my hands together like I was saying a prayer, except what I was actually doing was thinking.
What if... Oh, shit, he groaned.
What?
His interruption was a good thing since it gave me time to organize my half-formed thoughts.
You have that look on your face again.
What look?
The one that says you're about to propose something unbelievably stupid and somehow you will persuade me to do it.
You haven't even heard what I'm thinking about.
Do I need to?
Shit, probably not. Well, I'm going to say it anyway.
Of course you are.
If anything bad happens, don't say I didn't warn you.
Is it possible that we could build the device from the message? For us to contact the aliens in NGC 1023?
Oh my. OMG, I just can't... What?
There was actually a soft pop sound as his avatar winked out.
Skippy? I asked, as Smythe simply raised an eyebrow. The star team leader was done with Skippy's bullshit.
Come back, please.
A muffled voice came from the center of the desk, though nothing was visible.
I will if you agree to never mention such freaking lunacy ever, ever, ever again.
I won't know it is lunacy until we discuss it.
Joe, the aliens from NGC 1023 frightened the Elders so badly they went to extreme measures. The barrier has protected the galaxy for millions of years, and now you want to poke it with a stick?
He screeched.
Sir, Smythe shifted uncomfortably in his chair. While there is no question that the Elders are hateful arseholes, Skippy does have a point. We should not trade a known threat for an unknown one. Unless there is no other choice.
Unless, Smythe agreed with a reluctant shrug.
All right then.
Holy shit, Skippy.
Yeah, the Avatar appeared again.
Let's keep this between the four of us, okay?
Smythe nodded, but Skippy didn't understand.
Why, Joe?
Think about it. You just told three monkeys the truth about the threat, and one of us wanted to explore the idea of constructing the device. Multiply that by the population of the galaxy and...
Ugh, good point.
Why are meat sacks so stupid?
I can't answer that.
Eh. Well, the good news is you couldn't do it anyway. The barrier prevents any coherent connection across it in either direction. We can't send a signal beyond the barrier, and we can't get beyond the barrier to send a signal from there.
Without knowing it, the Elders monkey-proofed their security system, he grumbled.
Damn, they couldn't have known the real threat would come from filthy monkeys.
I waved a hand. They know it now.
True that.
Can we get back to the original question, please? Is it possible for us to threaten to take down a section of the barrier?
No, and if there was, you would be doing it without any help from me.
Skippy's arms folded across his chest.
Why?
Of all the dumb ideas you've dreamed up, this is the worst.
You might be biased about that.
His eyes bulged.
Me?
Yeah, you. Think about it. You were created and programmed by the Elders. Their worst fear was whatever is out there beyond the barrier. That fear has to be programmed into you somehow, even if you're not aware of it. The Elders themselves might not be aware they built such a bias into your thinking.
Shit.
It was Skippy's turn to shake his head.
There is another possibility, sir.
Sims leaned forward in her chair. She had been silent, listening, letting me ask the questions.
Like what, XO?
That the Elders did confirm that the aliens are a threat, that the beings from NGC 1023 were attempting an invasion. Such a terrible threat they feared to tell the truth to their own population and to their security AIs.
Huh,
Skippy snorted, again without humor. You think the Elders worried their AIs would be paralyzed by fear if we knew the truth?
They might have feared knowing the truth would affect your judgment, Smythe said.
Oh. That is a frightening thought. Wow, that would explain why Elder leadership went to such extreme lengths to ensure their security. Joe, if I do have a built-in bias, is there anything I can do about it?
You can be aware that you might have a bias and question whether that is affecting your judgment.
Ugh. Why is everything so freaking complicated?
Welcome to life, Skippy.
Well, Smythe sat straight up in the chair like he was poised to stand.
Sorry my notion won't work out, sir.
Hell, Smythe, don't be sorry to bring an idea to me. Right now, I got nothing.
What you said about knowing the truth possibly affecting the judgment of Elder AIs? That could be happening to me.
How so, sir?
I might be buying so much into the notion that the Elders are invincible that I'm afraid to try to think of a way to get us out of this mess.
Skippy telling us the story of the threat from the aliens of NGC-1023 did not really accomplish anything useful. It was good to know the nature of the threat that caused the Elders to transform their entire society and finally leave their physical forms entirely. But that knowledge didn't help us in any way. We still had no idea how to prevent the Elders from wiping out life in the galaxy. In a way, Skippy talking about it made the situation worse. It made me worry about something that I hadn't been worrying about. Before, the threat from beyond the galaxy was a vague notion that I didn't think much about. Really, part of me assumed there was only a potential threat, that the Elders were just setting up an external security system to match the internal system of Master Control AIs, Starships, Sentinels. Hearing that the Elder paranoia was triggered by a specific event, a terrifying event that involved technology far beyond the understanding of the Elders, got me seriously depressed.
Shit.
What if we did stop the Elders from coming back, prevent them from interfering with the beings who inhabited the present-day galaxy? What if our actions somehow screwed up the barrier, or out of spite, the Elders disabled it as a last fuck-you gesture to us? We would be jumping from the frying pan into the fire. Damn it. I had thought that the freaking Elders were the fire, but now I knew something even worse was out there. Intelligent life had been able to develop in the Milky Way only because the Elders had set up a barrier to keep big, bad aliens from taking over. In a way, we kinda owed the Elders for protecting us, even if they hadn't intended to. If I led us blindly against the Elders without knowing the long-term, unintended consequences of blocking their access to this layer of reality, would I only be making things worse? Why did I worry about that? Because making short-term plans that lead to bigger, long-term problems is kind of my thing, you know? I hate my life,